You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy 249th birthday to the United States of America. Happy 4th of July to you from all of us here at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Pomp and Joe Show without Pomp and Joe. I'm Jack Hillgrove filling in for those guys right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Dom DiTommaso filling in for Austin Bechtold, who's got the leadoff show, as Dom just mentioned, coming up at 3:15. Right now, we head out to the fan hotline, and we are joined by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Ray Fittipaldo, kind enough to join us on the holiday. Ray, happy 4th to you. How are you celebrating, good sir? Good to talk to you.
Well, good morning, Jack. Yeah, a little cookout later on this afternoon, and a happy 4th to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Ray Fittipaldo is brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team now for over 90 years. Visit them at lgkg.com. Ray, what message does the Omar Khan extension send to the organization and the fan base?
Yeah, I think for Art Rooney II, I think it was acknowledgement that Omar took over at a time, a month after Kenny Pickett was drafted, and the difficulties that have ensued with that draft pick not working out. Now it's more about than just the quarterback. I understand that. You know, Omar and Andy Weidel have been concentrating on building this roster up from the inside out. So, the offensive line the first couple of years in the draft, and next is going to be the defensive line, as evidenced by the drafting of Derek Harmon and Y.A. Black. So I think it's twofold. I think they're giving Omar plenty of time to get this done while acknowledging that, he took over at a time with a draft pick, a quarterback that was not his.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ray, I have often wondered, because I think the combination of what Omar's background is and what he excels in and what Andy Weidel's background is more of the football guy, so to speak, is a great combination of those two guys at the front of the front office. But that's a guy in Andy Weidel that's been thrown around for GM jobs in the past. I think the Jets was a job that was kind of lingering around and his name was thrown around for this past offseason. Is it safe to say that, by the end of this Omar Khan contract, that Andy Weidel might not be here and might be a general manager in the NFL somewhere?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jack. Every evaluator like Andy wants to go on and become a GM one day. They want to run their own operation, one day. So we'll see if that happens for Andy. People forget Andy was one of the 10 names in the Steelers search. And then, they eventually settled on Omar, and Omar is good friends with Andy. So, he was able to bring him on board. So, GM jobs are also like a lot of head coaching jobs. There's a lot of hot names from year to year. You know, sometimes guys get their chance and that's it. They take it and run with it. And sometimes guys, if it doesn't happen early, it doesn't happen at all. But, you know, I'm confident that Andy someday will run an operation of his own. But, you know, until that time, the Steelers have to take advantage of his skills. And I think for the most part, he's done a really good job of trying to build these offensive and defensive lines out from what was, let's face it, a pretty bad circumstance when they both took over back in the summer of 2022.
Yeah, and we're talking to Ray Fittipaldo, covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. The offensive line seemed to be first. We're seeing all the infusion of youth now across that starting line, with the exception of Isaac Seumalo. Derek Harmon, the first-round pick, next. And with Cam Hayward's obviously seen a lot more football than what's ahead of him, like the defensive line kind of seems like the next Andy Weidel-centered project, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, quarterback is going to come into play in 26 or 27. You know, the quarterback group in both years, Jack, it's really, really good. You know, everyone's pointing to 26 because the Steelers desperately need one with Aaron Rodgers on a one-year deal. But people have to remember, 2027 is just as good or better. But I think you're right. You know, defensive line starting this year with Harmon and Black. And it's not going to stop, honestly, because you mentioned that Cam Hayward, maybe this is his last year. Maybe he's got 2 years left. Who knows? But you got to find a replacement for him. And, you know, so I would be shocked if they did not take a defensive lineman in the first two or three rounds of next year's draft as well, depending on what happens at quarterback, of course. So, yeah, you know, it was predictable the way that they've tried to rebuild this line, but none of it works. And you understand this. None of it works offensively or defensively if you don't have that quarterback in place. And really, that's how both Andy and Omar are going to be judged eventually. That's what it's going to come down to. Do you have that franchise quarterback who could lead the team, lead a good roster into the playoffs?
Jalen Ramsey's obviously going to be a member of this team in 2025. Minka Fitzpatrick is not. And you look at it on paper and you say, man, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr., now Jalen Ramsey, those are some pretty good corners, but a hole at safety now. And is Juan Thornhill a guy that can fill that Minka Fitzpatrick void? What does that do for what Deshaun Elliott's able to do? Jalen Ramsey, I saw there was some speculation that he could be thrown into safety in a couple of packages. What's your early take on that and how the Steelers can reconfigure the secondary? It's now got a ton of depth at corner, but you lose your all-pro safety in Minka.
Yeah, that's not speculation. The Steelers believe he can play safety, and you know, that's I think that's part of the equation when you acquire a guy like that. You know, you want that versatility in the back end of your secondary. And the nice thing about Jalen Ramsey is he can also play slot corner, you know, because they do have, let's face it, Darius Slay and Joey Porter Jr. have not been guys who have bumped around. They've mostly been outside corners throughout the course of their career. So, you know, Jalen Ramsey, of course, has most of his experience on the outside, but he's played inside, and I think it's really, you know, tantalizing to think, okay, like, if he could actually transition to becoming a free safety, the ball skills that he utilized as a corner, seeing the whole field, you know, as a deep safety, that could actually come into play and, you know, be something that could be really nice for this defense down the road. So I'm not exactly sure where they're going to start him. You know, is it going to be in the slot? Is it going to be safety? But I do think they'll take advantage, and he will play both positions during the 2025 season.
And history for elite corners like Jalen Ramsey is actually pretty good in that regard, because you've got guys like Rod and Charles Woodson that have been able to transition to that late in their careers. And that's something that, like with age, is that like, does safety become easier to play with, you know, a player, you know, not necessarily past his prime, but, you know, into his 30s?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you think about corners and how they have to be able to run with guys who can run 4.440s, it just makes sense. If you're off the line of scrimmage a little bit and you're not asked to play in man coverage as much, you know, maybe you're the guy who is the shell safety over the top of the cornerback, or, you know, maybe you're covering a tight end who, you know, is probably going to run 4.6 rather than a 4.4. So it's definitely a different game back there if you're playing free safety as opposed to cornerback. And you make a great point. You know, both Woodsons, Charles and Rod, added like 4 or 6 years to their career. And, you know, Rod Woodson became an all-pro at both positions. And I'm sure if you asked the Rooneys, if Dan Rooney was still alive, you know, Tom Donahoe in that era was the GM, they probably think they moved on from Rod Woodson too long. And they probably weren't, you know, forward-thinking enough to move him to safety. So he ended up having a great career, second career, with the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Ravens. And, you know, we'll see if Jalen Ramsey can do the same here. He's going to turn 31 during the season. So theoretically, he could have 4 or 5 years left.
Chatting it up with Ray Fittipaldo, covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Ray, was Minka an issue in that locker room, maybe off the field? And if he was, did it fly kind of under the radar because of George Pickens kind of stealing the public eye in the way he handled, you know, questions from the media and the way that he acted and disciplinary stuff from the league as well?
Yeah, I mean, I would never put him in the same boat as George Pickens. He was, you know, by far the bigger problem. And I'm not even sure, like, Minka was ever a problem in that locker room. I think, obviously, there was stuff that happened on the field and, you know, he wasn't as productive as he had been. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work the last two seasons. And, you know, that can happen, too. It can just be circumstances, who you're playing with, you know, the way the league has trended, you know, in certain ways. You know, when he was making his all-pro teams, he was able to sit back and read the quarterback and, you know, make game-changing plays. And, you know, now the game's changed to the point where teams are not taking those deep down-the-field shots as often as they used to, and it's kind of become, you know, a game that's played between the 20s more so than over the top. So a lot of things have played into this. But I'll tell you what, Jack, I would not be surprised, just with a change of scenery, maybe a different coach, maybe somebody sees a different way to utilize them, I would not be surprised at all if Minka had another really good season down in Miami this year.
Let's go to the offensive side of that trade, Ray. Jonnu Smith now adds to that tight end room with Darnell Washington and Pat Freiermuth. Does that necessarily mean that, like, Pat Freiermuth should be, you know, feel threatened as the starting tight end, or is it going to be a situation where the Steelers, like, live in 12 personnel? Because it seems like that's, yeah, Arthur Smith's bread and butter.
Yeah, much more so the latter. You know, Jonnu Smith is, I think, 29, going to turn 30 during the season. Pat Freiermuth is much younger. So there's no reason for Pat, who, you know, signed his contract extension last year, to feel threatened. I actually think this could help Pat in the long run. You know, you think about how you want to utilize those two guys. You could have one be an inline tight end, one be flexed out in the slot. You could have both guys flexed out, really. You know, you could, the nice thing about this, Jack, is, you know, mismatches. You could have 12 personnel on the field, but real easy, you can get the four wide. If you split those guys out, you have Metcalf and, say, Calvin Austin in the game at the same time. So, you know, defensive coordinator is going to really have to be careful about how they deploy their personnel when they're facing the Steelers. It's not that Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth are great pass run blockers, but if they're both in the game, you know, they're still going to be a threat to run the ball. So I'm really looking forward to see Arthur Smith uses these two guys. And don't forget about Darnell Washington, too. He's still going to be a big part of this offense, not necessarily as a pass catcher, but as a run blocker. He's still going to be heavily involved as well.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, with some kind words of him, too, said he reminded him of Mercedes Lewis, which was one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets back in his prime Packers days. So does that close the book, you think, on signing a, or going out and getting a comparable wide receiver, too, before the start of the season?
I wouldn't say it closes the book on it, but I think there's definitely less of a need for it now. The one concern I do have, Jack, is the depth at receiver. You know, you got DK Metcalf, you got Calvin Austin, who produced, you know, pretty decent numbers last year. And then there's a fall off after that. You know, Robert Woods hasn't been Robert Woods for 2 or 3 years now. Roman Wilson was injured during his rookie season. You know, Ben Skowronek and Scotty Miller, they are who they are. So, like, if one of your top guys gets injured, let's say a DK Metcalf or a Calvin Austin gets injured, then you're really thin at that position. So I could see them adding another depth piece, you know, before or during training camp, but I don't think it has to be a guy who projects necessarily as a number two receiver who's going to step in and be a starter.
Ben Skowronek can hoop, though, Ray. Did you see that clip of him dunking?
That guy is one of the more undervalued players on this roster. Jack, great special teams player. And just watching that team last year, I know he was hurt. You know, he's in and out of the lineup because of injuries last year. He was really effective when they used him as a receiver, too. So I'm a big Skowronek fan. I think they should use him more. But just wherever he's been, whether it's been with the Rams or the Steelers, he seems to get pigeonholed into that special teams guy. But I think that guy's a terrific athlete, and I think he can be a bigger part of this offense as well, you know, if they allow it.
Ray Fittipaldo on the Fin Hotline. He covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. All right, Ray, I probably should have gotten to this a little bit earlier in our chat, but we get to it nonetheless. T.J. Watt, I would say what's the latest, but it seems like there is no latest. So I'll ask you, what do you see the timetable as right now for a T.J. Watt extension? Does it happen at some point during training camp to where he is a full participant at St. Vincent? Or is it a situation, are we trending more towards a situation of him, you know, before week one getting his contract extension? What do you think the latest is there?
Yeah, I mean, the last one wasn't as nearly as difficult as this one, and that was done 2 days before the start of the season. So I kind of look at that and say this is probably going to happen late in training camp or right before the season again. And listen, Jack, if TJ and his agent want to play hardball, that can mean a really extended layout and, you know, potentially a distracting storyline for this football team, for the remainder or, you know, the length of training camp. So that's definitely one of the storylines to watch as we get closer to camp, which is about 3 weeks away now. So you're right. Nothing's going on right now. The Steelers have had an offer on the table for quite some time. There hasn't really been a lot of negotiating back and forth here. But, you know, I would suspect once training camp starts and that deadline of the regular season approaches, things will heat up. And I think eventually it's going to get done, but there's probably going to be some contentious negotiations before that happens.
You rule out a trade then?
I would be so surprised if there was a trade. But listen, you never say never. The one thing about this whole situation is we have not talked to TJ since the end of the season. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think TJ has talked to anyone. It's kind of been more like JJ has been his mouthpiece. You know, the agent is talking for him by letting his feelings known about staying away from minicamp. So there's a lot of clues that TJ isn't happy. And he might be unhappy to the point where he does request a trade, but we haven't heard it from his lips. So I'm just really cautious in that regard. You know, maybe he is at that point, but I haven't heard it from him, so I'm not going to assume that's the case.
So I had, talking about this situation, you know, on these airwaves and elsewhere throughout the offseason, I am concerned that obviously, you know, Myles Garrett reset the market, right? The $40 million a year number is the one that's been thrown around. Are my concerns valid, and should fans be concerned that a Micah Parsons deal in Dallas can A, happen before TJ's extension, and B, reset the asking price for TJ Watt again and kind of walk back the negotiations? You don't think so?
I mean, a little bit, but you have to think about Aiden Hutchinson and Micah Parsons both being younger and entering their prime, whereas TJ and Miles are probably more in the same boat, you know, maybe still in their prime, but certainly exiting their prime within the next couple of years. That's why I think the Myles Garrett contract really blew a lot of NFL teams away. I mean, they committed to him for such a lengthy period of time at $40 million per. You know, I don't think the Steelers, the Cowboys, or the Lions were expecting that. So it's really going to be interesting to see which team blinks first. You know, will it be the Steelers? Will it be the Cowboys? But I wouldn't necessarily tie the Parsons or the Hutchinson situation to Watt just because, you know, Watt's 30 now. Those guys are, what, 24, 25? So there's 5 years of difference there in terms of, you know, what their actual worth is.
Ray Fittipaldo covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, what's up for you at the PG from now until training camp starts? What other storylines are you keeping your eye on, and is some paid time off in your future before training camp starts as well?
Yeah, hopefully some paid time off where news doesn't break. We had to make a trade, and then we had the Omar thing yesterday. So we'll see if this week is any better. But, certainly looking forward to July 23rd when it does come around.
All right, Ray, appreciate you hopping on with us on the holiday. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks again, good sir. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Jack. See you later.
There he goes. One of the good guys, Ray Fittipaldo. Check him out in the Post-Gazette. Covers the Pittsburgh Steelers incredibly, incredibly well. He was on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That makes me feel a lot better, Dom, about the Micah Parsons and Aiden Hutchinson aspect of, could TJ Watt say if Micah Parsons gets 42.5 or 43, hey, I want 44. I thought that was a little bit more of a possibility, and it seems like, you know, according to Ray's line of thinking, and it makes a ton of sense, it's two different types of players, which makes you wonder about the Browns. I think Myles Garrett will still be very, very good throughout the length of his deal, but A, it's lengthy for a player his age, B, it's for a crap ton of money, and C, it goes hand in hand with what J.J. Watt said on the Pat McAfee show all those months ago about TJ's situation. These contracts and extensions are better for the team and for the player the earlier they're done. And if they would have done this with TJ Watt a year ago, we obviously wouldn't be having this conversation now. And B, we would be laughing about the $40 million a year that Myles Garrett got and say, we got TJ Watt for much less. But obviously that didn't happen.
Agreed. Then the age thing is an important factor in all of this. So that part I do feel better about, but I mean, overall, Ray said it, there are a lot of clues that point to TJ Watt not being too thrilled. He posted the Instagram piece out months ago that I don't think is being talked about nearly enough. I think that was the first indicator. And we're, what, 2 weeks out from training camp, and this doesn't look like it's anywhere close to a resolution. You know, Jack, I mean, listen, we all want TJ Watt to finish his career here. That's the storybook ending. But a lot of times we don't get storybook endings. So if this thing comes to a complete inner pass, I got to be honest with you, man. I wouldn't be completely opposed to trading TJ Watt if he wants a certain amount of money. Steelers aren't willing to go there. If you can find a deal that would get you a good return, I don't think it would completely blow up this team. I think the best team to make a deal with, or at least try to, is Washington. It makes the most sense to me. They need an edge rusher. They're on the precipice of a Super Bowl, and I think TJ will get them over that precipice. And they're breaking ground on a new stadium soon and could obviously use as many marquee names as they could. But that's a conversation for later down the road. Right now, This doesn't look like it's coming to a close anytime soon, and I wouldn't be completely opposed to a trade if that's what's required.
Especially if you can get Terry McLaurin, if it's a swap.
That's the people push back on that. If you could do a straight-up TJ Watt for Terry McLaurin deal...
I wouldn't do it straight-up. I would need... I don't want to say Terry McLaurin in a first, because that's steep, but I would almost want Terry McLaurin in a first. I would definitely do it for that. I would run if that was the offer.
I would probably just do it straight up. If it doesn't look like you, Steelers, and TJ are going to come together on something, if you can get a wide receiver too, which I think everybody still agrees you need, plus the defense I think would still be fine without TJ. It wouldn't be as dominant, but I still think after some of the wheeling and dealing that Omar Khan has done, I don't think the defense would completely collapse.
Nick Herbig will be a starting edge rusher one day in the NFL. He's good enough to be one right now. Alex Highsmith is one of the best number two edge rushers in the NFL. But TJ Watt and how elite he is at the position, perhaps the most elite at the position in the entire National Football League, like that obviously requires a crap ton of attention. And that allows Alex Highsmith to be productive. And that allows Nick Herbig to be productive in spells. If you take TJ Watt out of that equation, that might hinder Alex Highsmith's production, Nick Herbig's production, if their roles elevate, which is why, and I do, if on the happy sad meter, not happy sad, happy or pissed meter of the Minka trade for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, I'm at like 65-35 in favor of, I like the trade. But a large chunk of that 35, why I'm hesitant, is because of what it does at safety. I think a large chunk of the reason why Deshaun Elliott was so good last year was because of the role Minka Fitzpatrick played. And this fan base, myself included, complained up and down the board, why is Minka just roaming around in center field? Well, because Minka was roaming around in center field, that created a giant threat out there as free safety to where teams didn't really test the long ball that much, and Minka was still productive without filling up the stat sheet. The problem is that Minka Fitzpatrick is as dynamic as a ball hawk and dynamic as a downhill tackler of the football that it seems like his talents were kind of misused in that sense of the argument. But flip it around. With Minka doing what he did last year, I thought that freed up Deshaun Elliott to be as dynamic as a box-stuffing, downhill, open-field tackling safety as he was. How does that change now with Minka Fitzpatrick off the field? Does Jalen Ramsey automatically fill that void? Is that Juan Thornhill? Juan Thornhill isn't going to be as big of a threat in that role as Minka Fitzpatrick was. He's not as good of a player. So does that change how productive Deshaun Elliott comes? A lot of that goes hand in hand. And that's, I think, the biggest question mark with TJ Watt and a trade of TJ Watt is, what does that do to the production now of Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig, and how does that change the way teams scheme up against the Steelers' edge rushing? Because it's still really good without TJ Watt, at least I think so, and I think you think so as well, but does that change the way that Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig are productive with teams not having to worry about TJ Watt every time they face the Steelers? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll continue to react to Ray next, and I want your phone calls at 412-928-9370. Another question on the fan hotline, what's on the cookout plate today? Let us know at 412-928-9370. And your thoughts on the Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith trade for Minka Fitzpatrick. Are you in favor of it or not? 412-928-9370. It's the Pomp and Joe Show without Pomp and Joe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's 11:33. It's the time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency and get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. It is the Pomp and Joe Show. I am neither Pomp nor my Joe. I'm Jack Hillgrove. Austin Bechtold, who normally produces this show, will host the North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 3:15, filling his shoes and doing a tremendous job, especially according to the text line. Mark in Pittsburgh. Dom DiTommaso, high praise for you this morning. Congratulations on all your success.
Hell yeah, Mark. That's my guy right there.
Let's go out to our guy on the fan hotline who called in earlier and we couldn't get him through. He dropped, but he's back now. Jay in Columbus at 412-928-9370. Jay, happy to get you back on, my man. Happy 4th.
Hey, happy 4th, guys. You guys are doing a great job. I'm almost as good as Pomp and Joe.
Don't boost my ego like that now, Jay. Still got a long way to go, especially to be a legend like Pomp, that's for sure.
I know. Hey, I don't know how old you guys are, but this T.J. Watt situation has a kind of feel of Mike Merriweather and the Steelers back in the late 80s. And it sounds like the Rooneys have drawn the line, and T.J. better get in line or this thing. I think this thing's going to get ugly. And I could see him holding out a month to 6 weeks, and then they got to trade him. Just like they did Merriweather.
Well, and then that's the point that, I don't know if you heard our conversation with Ray Fittipaldo in the last segment, but
I did. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, the
I don't know if you guys remember the Merriweather deal.
Yeah,
but,
my dad was in college when that went down, so I wasn't even a glimmer in his eye at that point. But like, I see what you're saying, and Ray's point was the last Watt negotiation was pretty darn civil and pretty darn like mutually. We're all working towards the same goal. And that didn't happen until a couple of days before the regular season started. And T.J. Watt was at training camp and just kind of participated throughout training camp. It was a little bit different back then because it was during COVID and training camp wasn't at St. Vincent. Right. More convenient for him to get to. If it was at St. Vincent, who the hell knows if he would have went or not. But still, the point is still stands. It was a much more civil negotiation, or at least it seemed like it did 4 years ago.
Right.
And it still took all the way up until the regular season started. So for you to be concerned that it might get ugly, it's not, you know, a far-fetched take by any means.
Right. Well, do we know what the offer is on the table? I mean, is it closer to $40 million or is it closer to $30 million?
I think it's closer to $40 than it is $30, but it's not $40. And if, again, I'm not T.J. Watt, and this is pure speculation, but T.J. Watt has an incredibly intense rivalry with Myles Garrett. Garrett has been more outspoken about that rivalry than T.J. Watt has. But T.J. Watt, remember, didn't show up to the NFL Awards when he wasn't voted Defensive Player of the Year. Wasn't there for Cam Hayward to accept Walter Payton Man of the Year. Thought he should have been DPOY. So he thinks that he should be paid what Myles Garrett is paid on an annual basis. I think it's closer to that than it is 30, but it's not more than 40 right now. And I think that's why we are with the negotiations.
It seems childish. You guys have a great 4th.
You too, Jay. Enjoy the day. It does kind of seem childish. But T.J. Watt, in the grand scheme of things, I think is more than entitled to feel the way he feels, and more than deserving of the opinion of, I feel like I should make more than this guy. Because he's been more productive throughout his career than Myles Garrett. That is as black and white as the stats show you. T.J. Watt's a better player on paper than Myles Garrett. So he should make more money. But at the end of the day, how much does it really matter?
I mean, I will never tell an athlete how much money they should try and get or not, because I think everybody should get all the money in the world. And T.J. Watt is certainly deserving, I agree with you, more deserving of more money than Myles Garrett, because I think most people would agree that he's a better player. What I'm happy that Jay just said is that he seems open to the idea of maybe having to trade T.J. Watt. And I really don't understand, and you're not quite there, Jack, so you're in the clear, but I don't know why some people act like it is such a forbidden thing to even talk about the possibility of doing that. This stuff happens all the time in sports. And yes, T.J. Watt is deserving of a lot of money, but if he's going to start asking for $40-plus million and getting into a range that is just not possible, I'm glad that some people seem open to the idea of having a conversation others don't want to have.
So, again, and I continue to bring this up, and I apologize if it's like, really, you keep bringing it up, but I think it is still incredibly damn relevant when J.J. Watt goes on Pat McAfee and says, this stuff is better for both the player that's getting the deal and the team offering the deal if you just get it done as early as possible. T.J. Watt's cap hit this year is right around $30 million. His base his base pay is just over $21 million. Signing bonus of seven and change, incentive stuff. He can make up to like $30, $35 million this year. Well, closer to 30. I'm totally okay with a raise, a base salary of 20 and then 21,050,000. Yeah, that's how you read that. I had to look at it on paper for a moment and figure it out. Pardon the brain. 21,050,000 is the base salary the last couple of years. I think, and if they would have done this a year ago, I think that TJ Watt would have fought an extension of maybe 4 years, $120 million, with a base salary of $30 million is an adequate enough raise. If you even want to stretch it to a base salary of $35, I'm okay with that too. But when you're going to be 32, 33, 34, 35 years old, making upwards of $40 million a year, it is fair to question whether or not TJ Watt will be in his prime still or as productive at 35 years old. And that is not a slight on TJ Watt and his abilities as a football player. I'm actually optimistic that he would still be pretty darn productive towards the end of this next deal, because think of how good James Harrison was late in his career as well. But it's fair to question, because once you get upwards of that age, anything could happen. And there's a chance, I don't think it's a good chance, but still a chance that $40 million a year for TJ Watt at 35 could be a nightmare situation for the Steelers financially, because you're just not getting back the same production as you were when TJ Watt was in his prime. You could stomach 30 or 35, and you would have been able to get that done a year ago, just like his big brother said. But we are where we are. And you make your bed and you lie in it, and the Steelers only have themselves to look at in the mirror. Matt in the North Hills is on the fan. Happy 4th, Matt.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Happy 4th. So, to your point, you look at any sports franchise, one of the downfalls is always holding on to players like that far too long and paying them.
The Penguins.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I go back. I always like to use the Phillies of the 08-09 range that won a World Series, but then kept Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and Carlos Ruiz around way too long, and they sucked for 10 years because of it. Another point I wanted to make, just in general about the Steelers, I have a hard time trying to see what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I know what they're doing with Jonnu Smith. They want a pass-heavy, tight end-oriented offense. But at the same time, and correct me if I get the name wrong, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, correct?
Yeah.
They obviously drafted a guy who is a power runner that you want to run between the hashes. But their top two tight ends right now can't really run block all that well. So I don't know if the plan is to have Darnell Washington out there and run a heavy set. Heck, maybe they can get Connor Hayward out there too at fullback and have four tight ends. Maybe that's Arthur Smith's dream. But I just really have a hard time seeing what the plan is there and how you are going to be effective with the type of offense that Arthur Smith wants to run. And they have to utilize the middle of the field, which there has been a reluctance to with Mike Tomlin and any of the offensive coordinators the Steelers have had for the last half decade. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, Matt, thanks for the call, man. Happy 4th of July to you. Saying Caleb Johnson is a power runner, I don't necessarily think is true. 4.57 time and the 40 time at the combine. And you look at what he was able to accomplish last year at Iowa at the beginning of the year. Long run of 64 yards against Illinois State, 54 against Iowa State, a 75-yard run against Michigan State. So he's got big playability, something that Najee Harris didn't really have. So I think you've got an opportunity there to really see Caleb Johnson explode a little bit more than Najee Harris could. So I'm more optimistic for Caleb Johnson than him just being a power runner, so to speak. And to say, oh, you know, I'm having a hard time seeing what they're trying to accomplish offensively, it's more of a vision offensively than when Kenny Pickett came into the league. You look at what Brock Purdy's been able to accomplish, and there are a lot of Brock Purdy fans out there, so I apologize if I'm stepping on toes here. I don't think Brock Purdy would be the quarterback in the NFL that he is right now if it weren't for the situation he was drafted into in San Francisco with an offensive-minded head coach and a really good system. J.J. McCarthy's got a really good chance to have a similar trajectory as Brock Purdy because he's got an offensive-minded head coach and a really good skill set and supporting cast around them. The Steelers don't have an offensive-minded head coach, but they've got a better offensive coordinator than Matt Canada and more of an identity to their offense than they ever did under Matt Canada. And that was something that Najee Harris was incredibly critical about the Steelers, to the LA media when he became a member of the Chargers, said on multiple occasions in interviews, we really didn't have an identity in Pittsburgh on offense. And he wasn't wrong for a majority of his Steelers tenure. Arthur Smith has an identity. This offensive line is young and has a crap ton of potential. I have to stop saying crap ton. It's like not radio. I'll work on it. A lot of potential. And the supporting cast is better. Jonnu Smith, Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Jaylen Warren, DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin. More weapons there than just a head case in George Pickens, a head case in Deontay Johnson, a bad offensive line, a running back that didn't have big play capabilities. So what the Steelers are doing right now offensively, to the best of their ability, is setting themselves up in 2026 to create a much better environment for a rookie quarterback than they had in 2022 for Kenny Pickett. But more than half that battle is having the offensive-minded head coach and having a young and innovative offensive mind. Now, if Arthur Smith, with a little bit more of his guys and his desired personnel, will the offense take a step forward in 2025? That remains to be seen. But Mike Tomlin obviously isn't the offensive-minded head coach. So once that new quarterback comes in here, 2026, maybe 27, hopefully it's 26. If Mike Tomlin goes 0-2 on rookie QBs, then we need to really, I mean, there's fans out there that are very much having the Mike Tomlin future conversation. You start to entertain it more and more by the day and by the year that they are a sad first-round exit in the playoffs. But if Mike Tomlin goes 0-2 on this next quarterback, buckle up for those conversations. 412-928-9370. That's the number to join the conversation. Where are we at here? 50-minute mark on the Fan, a couple of minutes shy of that. But the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. 1-for-1 on that one. Didn't need a redo this time around. We're getting better as the day rolls along. Dom's behind the glass, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove, filling in for Pomp and Joe on the Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Happy 4th. Was that the first time you heard that one?
Yes.
Did he write that?
I don't know, man. Probably.
Did like the Cohen's Market people or whoever sold that spot was like, hey, Joe, here's a script. Read it. And he was just like, uh-uh.
Oh, I could 100% seeing that being the way it went down.
Oh, man.
Joe's actually a pretty good singer. I don't think he gets the credit for the pipes that he has.
Dude, so how about I had him in class at Waynesburg. Have I told you that? Did you know that he taught very briefly at Waynesburg?
Yes.
So he taught a sports writing class, and it was a night class because he works from 10 to 2 here, and it was, you know, conducive for his schedule. One of my, other than, because obviously, you know, sports broadcasting, that's why I'm talking to everybody here now. That's why, other than Lanny Fratteri sports broadcasting classes at school, Joe's sports writing class was the best one I took at Waynesburg, bar none. Joe was tough as hell when it came to grading stories, but I appreciated it because the grades were tough, but he outlined why you were getting the grade you were getting, and it was in a way that, like, next time, do it this way. And it was in a way that, like, taught in addition to providing constructive criticism. The exercises that he had cooked up for us were phenomenal. Like, the one day we were working on, like, turning a story out of, like, a scrum or a media press conference. So he went and got some kid out of the hallway and, like, gave us a background. Like, this guy, and would come up with a funny name for him, obviously, because that's Joe Starkey 101. This come up with a storyline like, hey, this guy just had 28 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists. This is what the team did, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't tell us. He pulled the kid aside out of nowhere. I was like, hey, can you come do this for me? Gave him the lowdown, but basically said, be an a-hole. Give them a bunch of one-word answers. Clap back at them. Be like a not-so-nice pro athlete in press conferences. And we all knew the kid. He was one of our buddies. And he's giving us like one-word answers. And Joe's like, okay, write a story. And we had to. Phenomenal. Like, so the exercises that he came up with for sports writing, fantastic. And the one night, since it was a night class, we all came up here. We double dipped. We toured the Post-Gazette office building, because obviously he works for the Post-Gazette as well. We toured the Post-Gazette office on the North Shore, walked around there for a little bit, and came up here during the evening show, and he showed us around the station. He took us in the back by the sales office, and there was a guitar back there. Just sat down and listened to him play guitar and sing for like 5-10 minutes.
That's the kind of professor that I want.
Yeah, and then he came in, and I didn't start working here as a producer until we took that class in the fall. I didn't start here as a producer at the Fan until that spring. So it was the first time I had met him. Didn't walk in on the first day and say, hey, you know, I'm Joe Starkey, I'm your professor, this is sports writing, blah, 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 the course code, whatever. Walked in, turned on the smart board and the computer, and just pulled up some Bob McAdoo highlights and was just talking about how Bob McAdoo was Kevin Durant before Kevin Durant ever existed and one of the most underrated professional basketball players of all time, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually got into, hi, I'm Joe Starkey. This is sports writing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And does he still do that in some capacity?
I don't think so. I think he did for a couple of semesters, but then it just kind of fizzled out. So I was very fortunate to get him for sports writing when I did. The perfect balance of fun as hell, tough as hell, and I learned a lot, which when it comes to college and especially studying for this profession, you take. Now, didn't you have Amy Lawrence for a class at Syracuse?
Yeah, I had her for 4 weeks at the end of last spring, and it was actually a very good class. It was funny. We had a project we had to do where we had to do a fake radio segment because it was a sports talk radio class. And I remember the very first week, the first class, she made it very clear that she likes a certain kind of radio where she was like, I don't like hot takes and I don't like entertainment focused radio and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you're going to love me, Amy. I think we're going to get along great. And yeah, that's not the kind of show that I do. And it's not the kind of segment I did for her, but it was very informative. And I actually enjoyed it very well. Those are the kind of professors, Jack, that I enjoy learning from. I like all professors, but people like Amy, people like Joe especially, I bet he was a fantastic professor. Those are the people I really enjoy learning from and, you know, just picking their brain about different aspects of this.
He also had several Ron Cook jokes because they were still working together at that time.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
412-928-9370 is the number to join the conversation. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. It's Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of Eric Ebron, 85. Low of... If I get this right off the top of my head, I'm going to be very impressed with myself. I didn't say it out loud because I'm unsure of it. So pardon the pause in the Google. Yep. Low of Max Sharping, 64. Nailed it. I should have just went with it. And then if it was wrong, probably nobody would have been able to figure it out. Anyway. All right. Coming up later on in the program, Bob Walk at the top of the 1 o'clock hour will join us. We'll talk some Buccos and we can get into the Buccos later on in the next hour as well. But back to the Steelers after the break at 412-928-9370 and the Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith trade. If you want to weigh in on that or any other topics this morning and now afternoon, 412-928-9370. Jack Hillgrove filling in for Pomp and Joe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Who
baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.